Sermon on the Mount. So we'll be preaching on that this week. Next week, starting tomorrow, my family and I will be on vacation, so we won't be here next Sunday. Larry will be preaching, and I know he has a word that he's been studying and working towards, and so you'll really enjoy next Sunday's sermon. And then when I get back, it'll be Palm Sunday, so put us into April. So then in April, we'll swing back to work through the rest of chapter 7 of Matthew. So that's kind of our direction over the next several weeks, and continue to pray and come prepared for the Lord to minister to you. Amen. This morning's title is Don't Judge Me. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Well, we're going to look at what Jesus said about judging. It is probably one of the top three misquoted verses in the Bible. And so hopefully, with the Lord's help, we can bring some clarity to what Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 7. Let's read the first six verses, and then we'll pray and jump into this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before them and turn and tear you in pieces." So, Father God, this morning we come to you as the author of this book, and we ask you to give us insight. Your Holy Spirit comes and teaches us all truth. And so we ask for the Holy Spirit to come, give us the words and the understanding of what you've written. Lord, help us to understand it, God, so we can leave here today and do and live these words. And so we ask, Lord, for that. So, Lord, open up our eyes and our ears to hear and to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Usually we hear this from people who, quite frankly, feel guilty. It's the guilty person that says, "Don't judge me," you know. Don't judge me. We hear this a lot in the secular world, that the church needs to be tolerant. You need to be tolerant of what I'm doing, so don't judge me. Who are you to tell me that what I'm doing is right or wrong? You have no authority to do that. You have no place to do that. And so let's this morning kind of look through this and look at the bigger picture and look at some other scriptures throughout the Bible and help us to get a picture of what Jesus is saying. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking to, a handful of people, hundreds of people, and he is just ministering to them, and he's giving to them these insights. Now, we take the Bible literally as what it says, unless there's areas that we wouldn't want to do that. For instance, and we're not the determining factor of that, by the way. When Jesus says, "If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out," he's not teaching us to pull out our eyeball, because if we pull out our eyeball, we still have a corrupted heart. The heart must be changed. And so he's telling us to take whatever measures needed to get to the place where your heart can be changed. And so we read the Bible literally, except for in places where, the context or the structure of that text reflects otherwise. And so this morning, I think we're going to see that concept as we look at these verses. So what does the word "judged" mean? Let's make sure that we're at least talking about the same things. Jesus says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." So the word "judged" in Greek, if you're doing a Strong's numbering system, it's number 2919, and it means to distinguish or to decide. In other words, it means to give an opinion after considering a particular facts of a situation. So you are, when you're judging, you're distinguishing, you're deciding whether something is right or something is wrong. You're making a judgment. This would be to make an opinion. So you might say, "Well, I don't judge people." Well, you do. You have an opinion, and that opinion is based upon facts or your experience, and so you bring those things together and you make a decision you make an opinion based upon those facts that you've come across. Now, judging in our culture has been this negative thing. You know, don't judge me. And this week I was actually talking with somebody and they were just in, you know, conversation and they made this comment, well, they weren't judging them. And so I kind of challenged this person. And I was like, well, they were judging them, weren't they? Just because I knew I was preaching on this and I wanted to get some live feedback here. So I was kind of playing with this person. And so I said, well, what's wrong with judging? Well, you know, and they, you know, try to be politically correct and all these kinds of things. And we're not supposed to be doing that. Well, who says we're not supposed to be doing that? Well, judge not, lest ye be not judged. Oh, now I understand. If I don't judge anybody, God won't judge me. Right? Judge not. But Jesus said it right here. Judge not that you be not judged. So if I'm not judging other people, then guess what? God won't judge me. Free pass to do whatever. Well, we would say clearly that is not what Jesus is teaching at all. God has given his standard from the beginning. And he has not only given his standard, but he has fulfilled that standard through Christ and sending his son to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law that you and I will be judged according to. But if we've got Jesus Christ in our life, his righteousness becomes our righteousness. And so now we are a fulfillment of the law. So when we are judged by the Lord, we're found not guilty because of Christ's righteousness. Not because of my own deeds. My own deeds do not make me righteous. My own deeds do not get me into heaven. It is Christ's righteousness. So we will be judged, and you can read in your Bible and Revelation how we will be judged. But we'll be judged according to our deeds, and one of those deeds is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Is your name written in the book of life? And so if it is through Christ, then we'll be judged and found to be not guilty. So Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. And then he goes on to give some explanation here. He says, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. Or what manner in which you make that opinion or you come to that deciding factor, that's the same measure or the same standard that will be brought to you. Jesus is teaching us here of a harsh judgment. Okay, it says, verse 3, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but not consider the plank in your own eye? Some translations say, why do you look at the twig or the splinter? In the Greek, it literally means a dried twig. That's what it means. Some translations say sawdust, but you know, a twig, a splinter is probably a very accurate definition or translation. So why do you look at the splinter in somebody else's eye when you have a plank or a beam or a log in your own eye? And the thought here is that the splinter is of the same log that is defined as the log. So it's from the same thing. In other words, what he's saying is you look at your brother who has a splinter, but you are doing the same thing to a much greater degree. That splinter is of the same piece of that log that's in your eye or the beam that's in your eye. So what do we do with that? What is he teaching us here? He says, he goes on in verse 4, or how do you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look, a plank is in your own eye. So it's like I say, oh, wow. You know, Cheryl, you've got this speck in your eye. I need to come take this out. But at the same time, I have, you know, the same issue to a much greater degree in my own life. And what does Jesus call that person? The person who goes around saying, oh, let me take care. Oh, you got this in your life and you got this in your life. And they're pointing the finger and they're judging. They're making opinions. They're making a decision on what is right and wrong in somebody else's life. But yet they have the same issue in their life of a greater degree. That's the key here. What does Jesus call that person? Verse 5 calls him a hypocrite. That is a Greek word that comes, it's actually used in drama. And you know, back in the day when they would do acting, they would hold a mask over their face, or they would, you know, strap it on, there'd be a mask for this scene. And then after that scene was over, they'd go behind stage and they'd put a different mask on and they would come out here and they would act. That's what a hypocrite is. He's a person who hides behind a mask. That in front of everybody else, they look like this one actor, or they look like this one thing, or this is how they portray themselves. But behind that mask is really who they are. And that's what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is one who goes around and says, you know, you got this issue in your life, and you need to take care of this, you need to take care of that. They're making a judgment. But the problem is they have the same issue in their life to a greater degree. Continues on in verse 5, he says, first, remove the plank from your own eye. So here's how he's telling us to deal with this. Take care of it in your own life, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. It sounds to me like Jesus is teaching us to judge. Do you see this? He says, you see a splinter in your brother's eye, a fellow Christian. What are you supposed to do about it? Well, you need to make sure in your own life that you're not being hypocritical. That means you have to have a humble heart. It means you need to walk in repentance in your own life. You need to go before the Lord and ask him to remove this log in your own eye, this big offense, this big thing that you are walking in. And then he says, once you've done that, what does he tell you to do? He says, then you go to your brother, and now you're in a position to be able to help them remove the splinter from their eye. So Jesus is telling us that the splinter is a bad thing. He doesn't say, remove the log from your own eye and leave your brother alone. He says, no, remove it from your own eye. Now go help your brother. Go help your sister in Christ. Go help them remove that splinter from their eye. Why? Because the splinter is not supposed to be there. The splinter is unrighteousness. You go and help them remove that. Matthew chapter 18, if your brother sins, what do? You go to him. Sounds like judging. Shame, shame, shame. So Jesus is teaching us this morning that we are to be judging, but we're to be judging in a humble heart, in a way that allows us to make sure that we're judging ourselves first. And in doing so, we will be able to judge in righteousness. And as we're going to talk about here in a minute, but Jesus will teach us about judging carefully, judging in righteousness, because now in our life, we have worked through that issue. Now here becomes a catch-20. Is Jesus teaching us that we can only go to a brother or sister who has unrighteousness, has a splinter in their eye? Can we only do that when we are perfect? If I have a log in my eye, Jesus says I'm supposed to go take care of that. And I do that by coming to the Lord, asking for repentance, maybe having a person helping me, a brother and sister in Christ helping me, through accountability and just those types of things. And now I can go and help somebody else. But does that mean that if I'm in that process of getting the log out of my eye, does that mean I cannot go then to somebody else when I see something into them? And so that becomes the other catch-20. That's what the other people say. Well, you can't judge me because you have the same problem. Maybe the case. But how am I dealing with that problem? See, if I'm walking in humility to the Lord, since I'm not perfect, I'm going to make mistakes. And I'm probably going to make the same mistakes that you make. So it becomes a heart attitude. The whole part of the Sermon on the Mount, if you haven't caught it by now, after we got through the Beatitudes, it all deals with your heart motive. Every piece of this. Jesus is not looking for performance outward. He's talking about your heart. And he's saying, how dare you go and start nitpicking at somebody else when you allow it in your own life. You are a hypocrite. Let's just pick on lying. Let's say you are an advocate liar. I mean, you support lying in your own life. You think it's fine. It's just a little lie to you. And you get all upset and you start passing judgment over, they're just a liar. I can't believe they would do that. But yet you do it in your life. That's what Jesus is talking about. Do not judge. Otherwise, you will be judged to the same measure, to a harsher measure than the Lord will judge. Because the Lord judges in righteousness. He judges, and glad that he judges by grace, aren't we? Because of Christ in our life. So let's look at this and a couple other scriptures. John chapter 7 and verse 20. Go there if you would. John chapter 7, verse 20. Chapter 7, verse 20, Jesus has been doing some things. He's been healing people. People are upset with this. They're the religious leaders of the day. They say, "You are demon-possessed," the crowd answered. "Who is he trying to kill? Who is trying to kill you?" Jesus said to them, I did one miracle, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs. You circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearance, but instead judge correctly. The law of Moses, the law that God gave to people of Israel, was that the male child was to be circumcised on the eighth day. If that eighth day landed on the Sabbath, the day that they were required not to do any work, they were still permitted to go ahead and fulfill the law of circumcision, even though it broke the law of the Sabbath. And Jesus shows up and he fulfills the Old Testament law. He did not come to abandon it or to do away with it, but to fulfill it. And in fulfilling it, he broke some of their man-made laws, and in this case, of the Sabbath. He heals a man on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees are all bent out of shape. He's breaking the law, though he's doing a good thing. And Jesus is saying, don't judge by mere appearance, but he tells them to judge correctly or to judge in righteousness. So even there, we see a command of the Lord that in your judging, in your gathering of facts and making a decision, do it in righteousness. Romans chapter 2, I think, is the clearest picture of this. Romans chapter 2, looking at verse 1 and 1 through 3. You grab your Bibles and go there. Romans chapter 2. Paul writes, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourselves. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things." Look at verse 3. "And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same thing, that you will escape the judgment of God?" So here we see that this judgment that Jesus is talking about, Matthew chapter 7, about having the beam or the log in your eye, he says, who are you to go and judge somebody else when you yourselves are doing the very same thing? He says, do you think because now you're sitting in a place of a judge that you will escape God's judgment on your life? No, absolutely not. Because Jesus said in Matthew 7 that the measure which you judge, that's the same measure that will be brought to you. So if you're harsh on people, when you yourselves are doing the same thing or doing it to a greater degree, then that same measure that you gave to that person will be poured out to you in your own life. The NIV says in Romans chapter 2, the same verses in the NIV, says, "You therefore having no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourselves because you who pass judgment do the same things." You see, we condemn ourselves when we judge other people when that very same thing is in our life. We're passing judgment on ourselves. In other words, if I'm walking in a lying spirit, I'm judging lying in somebody else, but I'm a liar, then I'm condemning myself by my judgment of that person because it's in my life. He goes on to say, "So when you, a man, or a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think that you will escape God's judgment?" So Jesus is teaching us to judge in righteousness. He's teaching us to judge as the Lord judges. And the only way we can do that is to walk in humility in our own life, to make sure that I'm judging myself. I'm making sure that my life is clear and clean. And we all have mistakes, we all have sins, we all have those struggles, and you know, we all have those. But what's my heart attitude towards those things? Is that thing a master of me? Because if it's a master of me, then I'm in a very challenging place spiritually. Christ has freed us from all sin, amen? He's freed us from all addiction, amen? We're freed from those things. We've been, that sinful nature has been put to death in our life. So whenever I, as a righteous person in Christ Jesus, when I choose to walk in sin to the point where that thing becomes such a big log in my own life, then I'm being a hypocrite. And then when I point out a splinter of the same thing in somebody else's life, I'm even being more of a hypocrite. And Jesus says, no, get it out of your life first, which means it is possible to get it out of your life. It is possible to live in freedom in Christ, or Jesus wouldn't tell you to get the log out of your own eye. And then he says, once you've done that, now go help your brother. Go help that person out. And you can only do that by first going to them and saying, this isn't right that's in your life. Don't you judge me. Say, no, I'm supposed to judge you. James chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12. James 4, 11 and 12. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another, or do not speak against one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Well, so now we're starting to see the balance of judging and not judging. I don't want you to leave today just going around pointing out everybody's faults. Well, the pastor said I'm supposed to judge you. And let me tell you, brother, you've got a splinter in your eye. In fact, you got five of them. Let me tell you what they are, okay? No, you're missing the heart of what Jesus is teaching us. God is the judge, amen? And God will judge our lives, amen? And if our life, we have the sin issue or we have the stinky attitude and we say, it's okay in my life, it's okay. You know, if you knew my history, if you knew my past, if you knew what I came from, if you knew my challenge, it's okay. But in your life, it's not okay. That's the judging that Jesus says is wrong. You are a hypocrite in doing so. But when your brother is sinning, when there's unrighteousness taking place, then it is your responsibility as a brother and sister in Christ to go to that person in love and according to the standards of Matthew 18 and try to restore the person back to repentance. That is our call as brothers and sisters in Christ. And even this morning, as we prayed for our church to become spiritually mature, that will only happen as we do this one to another. But again, we don't like that. We all have blind spots. Splots is Greek for spots. We do. We all have those. We don't see everything in our life. That's why I like to... Brandon started wrestling again. The season started yesterday and you're sitting on the side of the mat there and you can see everything, but Brandon can't see everything. He can just see what's right in front of him, you know, whether it's the guy's armpit or his leg or whatever. But so as an outsider looking in, you can see more and you can tell him what to do. You grab his leg, it's right there. Oh, I didn't see it. You know, same with basketball and football. I mean, the coaches nowadays sit up in the press boxes, right? They're way up there so they can see the whole field, so they can see how the defense is lining up. You have a blind spot in your life. And God doesn't want you to have that. He wants to mature you through that. So he'll bring people in your life, your spouse, your children, teachers, your pastor, brothers and sisters in Christ, to come alongside of you and say, out of our love for you, what is going on cannot be allowed. And now let's work on this. And if we're to lay down, if you ever get something small in your eye, a little speck, a little sawdust or something, and it burns, it, you know, irritates your eye, doesn't it? And you got to flush it out. You got to be intentional about it. You can't just ignore it. You got to get it taken care of. And that's what this looks like when somebody comes to you and says, you know what, I've noticed this in your life, and this isn't right. Then you have to be intentional. And it's only through the grace of God that that thing can get removed from your eye. In fact, in James 4, we read this verse. He says that you're speaking against the law He who sits, one who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them, speaks against the law and judges it. And many believe that the law that they're talking about is from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, which is our second greatest commandment that God gave to us. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. So is it not love that brings us to the place of helping a person through their splinter issue? Isn't that love? Because no love would say, eh, you're on your own. No love would say, oh, you have unrighteousness in your life, I'm just going to leave you alone. I'm just going to let you experience the discipline of God and the judgment of God, and I'm just going to leave you alone. But love says, no, I'm going to come alongside and I'm going to try to help you out. But only after I have been honest with myself before me and my Lord and said, God, search my heart. Judge me. In Matthew chapter 7, there's this interesting verse, verse 6, the last one that we read. If you flip back to Matthew 7, let's look at this verse. So he's talking about this, you know, being a hypocrite and, judging when you have this same thing in your life. And, you know, you say it's okay in your life, but yet you judge everybody else for doing the same thing and even doing it to a lesser degree. And then in verse 6, there's this kind of this verse that's kind of just stuck in there. It says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. Trying to read the context, you're like, he's talking about judging, and you know, you got to examine your own life and take care of your own life first and walk in repentance, and then you're at a place of restoration, you can go and you can help somebody else out, and that's all good. And then he's going to go on and talk about ask and shall be given to you, seek and all these things. But right in the middle of that, there's this verse that says, don't give the holy things to the dog, something you cannot do, verse 6, unless you're walking in judgment. If you're not judging, you cannot fulfill verse 6. Because in order to not give the holy things to the dogs, or in order to cast the pearls before swine, you have to make a decision. You have to come things, and through discernment, come to the place to decide whether or not I am to give the holy things to the dogs. Let's define what this means through many verses in Proverbs. You can write these down on your bulletin. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7 through 8. Proverbs 9, 7 and 8. It states, whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Because the wise, if a person is walking in wisdom, you don't need to rebuke them, right? So he's talking about the heart. A person who has a wise heart, a person who has a teachable heart, a person who has come to know the knowledge of God in their life, then they're teachable. And you can come and bring correction in their life, and they will receive that correction, and they will make adjustments. But they're the mockers. They are those that dogs or the swine, as Jesus says. If you try to correct them, they will turn on you and bring more chaos in your life that you don't need. There's some more, and then we'll tie this up. It says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. So if you try to instruct a fool, you're only going to be leading towards folly, because a fool won't learn. A fool chooses not to learn. A fool is incapable of learning until that heart is not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. So again, here we are. We're trying to make a judgment on whether or not we should present the holy things to these fools, to these mockers. We can truly understand if we are to share the gospel with this particular person or not. How would they respond? The gospel is offensive, amen? It is offensive. And there are some people that are not in a position in their life to receive that gospel message. And so you have to discern whether or not that person is ready. And that's something that only the Lord knows. The sower that went out and sowed the seeds at the parable that Jesus gave us didn't tell the sower where to sow. And as he's sowing it, some of it falls on the hard places, right? Some of it falls on the path. Some of it falls in places that the ground, the soil, wasn't prepared to receive it. So we are commanded by God to go and to make disciples of all men. We are to go and to be a light to the world and to be the salt to the world. Amen? That's what we are to do. But understanding that some of those people that see that light or receive that salt are going to be mockers, and people that are going to be these dogs and these swines. And so we have to walk in true judgment and in true discernment as to whether or not those people are in a place of being able to receive it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. A lot of scripture today. You guys are doing good. We're almost done. And don't judge me if this goes too long either. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. First Corinthians 2:15, but he that is spiritual judges all things. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now the word here, judge, is a different word in the Greek than that's used by Jesus in Matthew 7. This judging is to examine, to search, to discern. The judgment Jesus was talking about was to includes examining, searching, gathering all these facts, and then making an opinion, making a verdict. And judging isn't always negative. You can make a positive judgment in somebody's life, or even in your own life. But here we see that we are told that he that is spiritual examines all things. He that is spiritual searches all things. He that is spiritual discerns all things. So we are encouraged, church, to examine, to discern, to search out the matter, to search out what's going on, search it out in our own lives. Where is my life? God, what are my blind spots? Where am I walking in unrighteousness? Do I have a log in my eye that I can't see? Allowing God to do that. And then you and I walking in discernment and knowing where are the dogs? Where are the swine? Because they will trample the pearls. It's a picture of the pigs that, you know, eat the corn, and they see the pearls on the ground and they think it's corn kernels. But when they get there, they run over there, they realize that it's not food and they trample it, and then they're upset and they turn and they attack you and they tear you to pieces. So we are to walk spiritually mature as Christians, and what that looks like is being able to discern righteousness from unrighteousness. Discern those that are wise in their heart, those that have a heart that's teachable, to those that are just foolish in their heart, to those that are, you know, just mockers. Correct those that are wise in their heart. The fool isn't in a position to receive that correction. We need to walk in that discernment. We are to go and to help those that have a splinter to get out of their eye. You are supposed to do that, but only after you examine your own life and you allow God to come and to free you from those very things in your own life. In other words, the standard that you use for your life should be the same standard. If you let something slide in your life, then don't be pointing the finger at other people in their life. But as you walk in repentance and you allow God to remove that thing from your life, then now you're in a place to go and remove and to help that person through that process. Many times it's a process of walking that righteous life. That's the beauty of the church, is it not? When I have a blind spot, you can come to me and say, hey, I think this is wrong. And people do that to me. And I value that when it happens. And I go to other people and the same thing. That's the beauty of the church. So this week, walk in discernment. Examine. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you and do those things. And search your life. God, what's going on right here? Maybe you don't have a log in your eye. Maybe you have a splinter in your eye. And maybe the Lord will remove that this week. Or better yet, bring somebody along next to you and help you through that process. Help you to that place of repentance. And when that happens, do not say, "Don't judge me." Say, "Thank you." Sometimes when people come to you, or I know sometimes the method maybe isn't the best. The delivery maybe wasn't really thought through. You know, and at first your reaction can be to, you know, rise up and be like, "Whoa," you know. So try to look through all that. And again, walk in discernment. Walk in discernment. Somebody can come to you and say this, and they might be partially right. Maybe they're not discerning correctly. They might be partially right, and the Lord can give you discernment and say, "Well, here's really what we're dealing with in your own life." Let's stand this morning and close. Difficult passages this morning. I encourage you to study it through even more as the Lord will lead you so you can have greater understanding. Father, this morning, we just say thank you. Lord, I thank you for these this morning that are here that were able to drive through the snow, Lord. Thank you for keeping them safe here. And just thank you for just a great time in your presence this morning. Thank you for the word today, God. And give us that understanding to understand how to walk with that discernment. Lord, we know first and foremost that it starts with us walking humbly with you, walking in repentance with you. Holy Spirit, would you come and search our life? Would you search our life this morning? Do we have any logs in our own eye? Or do we have things that we allow in our own life, but we will not tolerate in other people's lives? Lord, that is being a hypocrite. That is not righteousness. So Lord, we ask you today and this week and throughout the rest of our lives, Lord, just search us. Holy Spirit, come and just reveal those things to us so that way we can repent and continue to walk in maturity. Lord, give us that spiritual discerning ability, God, to be able to discern from righteousness and unrighteousness. Lord, that we do not take the holy things and bring them to the dogs. We do not cast the pearls before the swine. And Lord, that's a difficult thing to do, but through you, you can lead us into that to help us with that. Lord, lastly, I just pray that as things get brought up into our life from our brothers and sisters, from our spouse, or from church leadership, Lord, that we would have a heart to receive those things. That way that splinter can be removed from our own life. Lord, we just give you praise. Lord, as we leave here today, Lord, keep us safe on our travels home and just throughout this week. Lord, just thank you for your blessing this morning, and thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.